breaking news from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws from San Diego, California. Smoking cannabis, even long-term, is not positively associated with increased incidence of lung cancer, according to the findings of the largest population-based case control study performed to date. Lead investigator Donald Tashkin of the David Geffen School of Medicine, Division of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, presented the results today at the 2006 International Conference of the American Thoracic Society in San Diego. Investigators assessed the possible association between cannabis use and the risk of lung cancer in middle-aged adults aged 18 to 59 living in Los Angeles. Researchers conducted interviews with 611 subjects with lung cancer and 1,040 controls matched for age, gender, and neighborhood. Data was collected on lifetime marijuana use as well as subjects' use of alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, diet, occupation, and family history of cancer. Investigators used a logistical regression model to estimate the effect of cannabis smoking on lung cancer risk, adjusting for age, gender, ethnicity, education, and cumulative tobacco smoking and alcohol use. Quote, "We did not observe a positive association of marijuana use, even in heavy long-term use, with lung cancer, controlling for tobacco smoking and other potential confounders," close quote, investigators concluded. Their data further revealed that one subset of moderate lifetime users actually had an inverse association between cannabis use and lung cancer. The five-year trial was sponsored by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, or NIH. Normal senior policy analyst Paul Armentano said that Tashkin's findings reaffirm the results of prior case control studies, dismissing a casual link between cannabis use and certain types of lung and upper aerodigestive tract, or UAT, cancers. These include a 2001 Johns Hopkins University hospital-based case control study that found neither lifetime use nor ever use of cannabis were associated with head, neck, or lung cancer in younger adults. A 2004 University of Washington case control study that found, quote, "no association," close quote, between cannabis use and incidence of oral cancer, regardless of how long, how much, or how often individuals had used it, and a 1997 Kaiser Permanente retrospective cohort study that found that cannabis use was not associated with increased risks of developing tobacco use-related cancers of the lung and upper aerodigestive tract, or other cancers in men and women who used marijuana but did not smoke tobacco.
The most remarkable aspect of this study is that findings are, in fact, unremarkable. As has been previously reported by the U.S. Institute of Medicine and others, there is no conclusive evidence that marijuana causes cancer in humans, including those cancers generally related to tobacco use.
That was Normal senior policy analyst Paul Armentano. Armentano suggested that cannabis consumers who desire the rapid onset of action associated with inhalation, but who are concerned about the potential harms of noxious smoke, can dramatically cut down on their intake of carcinogenic compounds by engaging in vaporization rather than smoking. More information is available on Normal's website in the new report, Cannabis Smoke and Cancer, Assessing the Risk, at norml.org. This has been breaking news from the Normal Foundation. Stay tuned for our regular midweek special, Voices of Reform. This is Voices of Reform, a Normal News special from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Each week we're featuring portions of audio recorded at the 2006 Annual Normal Conference in San Francisco, California. The complete speeches and more Normal audio is available at norml.org/podcast. we'll hear from University of Colorado at Colorado Springs Professor of Biology, Dr. Robert Malamede, on his findings regarding endocannabinoids' positive effect on human homeostasis.
Evolution, marijuana, and prohibition, because I want to draw a continuity between the change that's occurred in the biosphere, really, in organisms that have cannabinoid systems and what that means, and then how that can be extended, how an understanding of that biology can be extended to an understanding of prohibition. So I'm going to rapidly go through some of the stuff. Some of you have heard it in the past, but I have to start in the beginning in order to provide the comprehensive overview, because it's the comprehensive overview that I really want to try to convey to you. So what I want to start with is the physics of life. What is the physics of life? Is there a physics out there that we can look at and describe in a relatively simple manner so that it can be shared by all, and yet provide concepts that allow us to understand really what is the fundamental nature of life? And in order to do that, we're going to go just very, very simplistically and rapidly through a concept of called far from equilibrium thermodynamics. It's much easier than it sounds, at least at the way I can present it. And out of that, we're going to see the development of the concept of homeostasis and what that means. But I want to take homeostasis not only from within our body, but outside of our body, into our social environment and our political environment, and et cetera. So from the body perspective, what I want to do is describe health and illness and the relationship of health and illness to homeostasis and how that physics underlies it. And then extend that into what's going on with the cannabinoids, what are they doing, and how do they participate in all of those things. And from that, we'll then go into human behavior, and from human behavior into politics, and then from politics into religion. And And that's the answer. So anyway, far from equilibrium thermodynamics, I put this slide in here on the one hand out of respect, because Ilya Prigozhin was the master behind this. He spent his life developing this theory and philosophy and science and math, and one of the most incredible humans to ever have lived. And this quote from him is very telling. The more deeply we study the nature of time, because he was into time, we don't really know, what's time, you know? We know how to measure it with a clock, but what's really going on there? And he's just come up with some incredible things there. The better we understand that duration means invention, creation of forms, continuous elaboration of the absolutely new. This is really what cannabis is about. So we'll see how that is in a moment. So what I want to do is show you how, from a physical and chemical point of view, energy flows. And when energy flows, it has the most amazing creative capacity. And it's that creative capacity that's behind life. So what I'm going to talk about is something that's a little different from something that you may be familiar with, the term entropy, that disorder must increase, and life is in contrast to that. Well, that's because the old view that would allow you to see in contrast to is really not appropriate. Equilibrium situations, when you move a little bit from equilibrium, entropy, which is disorder, will increase. However, when you are far from equilibrium and energy can flow, we'll see that molecules, innate molecules, have a creative capacity to organize themselves. And it's that organizing capacity that's responsible for life, that is a measure of health, and is manifest in terms of our social, political, economic, communities, families, everything. Everything. Because if things are happening, this is how they happen.
That was Dr. Robert Malamede, professor of biology at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. Dr. Malamede's complete speech and more normal audio is available at norml.org/podcast. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.